Just a little background information on the situation down in South Central. Since 1992, the 14 acres of property located at 41st and Alameda Streets in Los Angeles have been used as a community garden and a farm. The land has been divided into 360 plots and is believed to be one of the largest urban gardens in the country. Now, the city of Los Angeles acquired the 14-acre property by eminent domain in the late 1980s, taking it from 9 private landowners. The largest of these owners, Alameda Barbara Investment Company, owned approximately 80% of the site. Now, the partners at Alameda were Ralph Horowitz and Jacob Leibel. Okay, so now the city originally intended to use the property for a trash incinerator, but abandoned the plan in the face of public protests organized by the community. So, in 1992, after the riots down in L.A., this community garden was formed, a farm, and it is, you know, the livelihood of over 350 families. It feeds thousands of people nice, healthy food, you know, in an urban area, you know, and it's just a blessing. It's a diamond in the rough, so to say. So the fact that this is getting kind of taken back by the city of L.A. is an atrocity, and it's pretty much just a damn shame. So on the phone with me right now, I have a man down in the mix as we speak, and he is so kind to call us and let us know how's it going. John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Emily.
How's it going, friend?
It's going well. You know, we've got momentum. Things are growing. We're at the point where we're hoping in the next few days we'll be able to pull this off. And we're also simultaneously preparing for any sort of eviction action that the sheriffs may attempt. But right now there's a tremendous amount of public support that's grown over the last couple weeks since we started this particular action. And we're hopeful that it can be worked out, you know, peacefully and politically so that we don't have to go into the whole police drama.
Right. How many people would you say are down there at the moment?
I have to say, we just had every night at 7 o'clock, we've been doing these vigils with hundreds of people, and then we had a big meeting after that with, 75 to 100 people, and now folks are, we have at least 50 that stay on the land at night, every night, and then, you know, throughout the day, we have hundreds of people who come through here, so, but the numbers are growing every day.
So what was the scene like today? Like, what's been the overall tone since you've been down there?
You know, most days, it just depends. If there's heavy police helicopter activity, that sort of raises the
tension
level a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it's just been a spectacularly beautiful experience because, as I said, every night we have the vigil and we have spiritual leaders who come and lead that. On Monday we had an interfaith prayer service, and it's just, we had the granddaughter of Cesar Chavez came down on Saturday night. We've had a whole line of celebrities from entertainment and music, and it's a festive atmosphere. The farmers market on Sunday was really beautiful, and you know, there's a lot of magic going on here. It's been going on for a while, and we're all, you know, we're ready for it to break one way or another.
Right. Well, it seems like an interesting group of people. I mean, you have, you know, a lot of poor people working on the farm, and then you have, you know, these famous people. Can you elaborate on some of the people that are there, you know, some of the more high-profile, as you might say?
You know, in the last 10 days, I've been living in this tree with Julia Butterfly Hill. We have a couple platforms up, and then Joan Baez came down, and she spent a night in the tree. And then Daryl Hannah's been spending about 12 hours a day up in the tree and rotating in with us.
And Julia Butterfly's down there too, I believe, right?
Yeah. Julia and I, we're the two sort of primary tree sitters. And then we rotate other people in. And then Daryl has actually become a mainstay up in the tree for the last week or so. Daryl Hannah, and then in addition to that, Ben Harper's been down with his wife, Laura Dern. Tomorrow we've got Danny Glover and a couple of, today we had Michelle Schacht was here, who gave a concert. Floyd Redcrow Westerman was here last night. Lisa Bonet was here tonight. It's pretty much an endless stream. We've got Alicia Silverstone and Amy Smart are coming down tomorrow. We're pulling out all the stops because this was absolute 11th hour. And fortunately, the media has been very kind to us in reporting the story, and we've generated a lot of support. People can go to southcentralfarmers.com or southcentralfarmers.org if they want to make a donation. We've been raising a lot of money that way. Obviously, we need to raise big chunks as well. And the fundraising has, we've been having significant strides in that. So it's
have a lot
really
of people been getting over in the internet and donating money that way, or?
Yeah, well, that's one of the ways that we've been raising money. And also, we've all been just making calls to as many people who can write big checks as possible, because it's just a race against time right now.
And how much money, what's the stake here? Like, how much money do you guys need to rectify this situation? Can you tell us about, it sounds like there's a big train back there.
Yeah, we're right next to train tracks here, so that goes on all night.
Well, that's all good. Well, can you give us a little, before you even get into that, can you give us a little information on this Ralph Horowitz guy and tell us a little bit about what happened and the money that you need to produce for this guy?
Ralph Horowitz is a local developer. Basically, the land was taken from him and his partners back in the late 80s, as you said.
Come on, train.
Yeah, it's a pretty serious train action. And then the city was going to put up an incinerator, but the community rose up to stop that. So the land just basically went unused.
Right.
And when they took the land from him under eminent domain, they paid him $4.8 million. Now, about 16 years later, in 2003, they sold it back to him for $5.1, a little over $5 million. Now, the difference in the value of those dollars, those 2003 dollars, was considerably less than the ones that he was paid back in 87.
Right.
So it was a seriously undervalued deal, backroom deal, kind of classic situation here in L.A., politics with developers.
Right.
But in the interim, as you described, out of the ashes of the 92 fires, this farm was born and became an incredible model for an urban community farm in the United States.
And it works. It really works. It feeds thousands of people.
And it works on so many different levels. It works as a gang-free zone, so you have kids who can run around safely here. It works because it provides organic produce for people who wouldn't normally be able to have access to it. It works to feed families. It works as a community focal point where people can come down and have some open space in the middle of the most polluted part of L.A.
Right.
So the idea that, okay, we're going to bulldoze this to build another warehouse, which there's three empty warehouses right across the street, and all of this to make a pack of money for this developer, it just doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't. So now, back to the original question, how much money do you need to raise in order to snag this land or appease this man with enough money? Like, what's the stake involved?
Well, what he was asking a few months ago was $16.3 million, more than
for something he paid $5 million for.
Exactly. There was a lot of outrage about that in the past, and that created bad blood all around. But where we've come to here at this point is we've been so inspired by this place and believe that it's so crucial that it be saved that we're willing to just raise the money if that's what it takes. Because right now, with the limited time we have to fight those old battles about the backroom deal or whether or not he's ripping us off.
Well, it doesn't seem like you have any time.
We just don't. We have a much better chance just letting people know how magical this place is and getting them to invest in it as a model for the future. So that's what we've been doing, and we've been very successful to this point, but we still have a ways to go.
What's the current, or I don't know if you even know this, like how much money have you produced?
Well, unfortunately, because one of the donors wants to remain anonymous and does not want to talk publicly, I can't give you an exact total.
Okay, well, a ballpark. How about that?
We're about two-thirds of the way there.
All right. Well, if this is like an imminent problem, like it sounds like, it sounds like the city of L.A. is about to barge down these walls. What's the, I mean, are things getting more tense by the hour there? I mean, is it looking hopeful? I mean, what is it?
Well, it's a balancing act because the sheriff's office is legally bound to enforce the court order to evict. They don't want to do it because
right.
for them it's a public relations nightmare.
And when is that supposed to go down if it's court-ruled, court-ordered?
Well, they're already past their time. They're already into their discretionary time.
So now it's just a matter of time when and if they're going to actually seize the land back.
Right. And so there's a lot of factors I'm sure they're weighing, and one of which is the fact that we're letting them know that these negotiations are going on between us and the developer, and we're trying to pull a deal together. So, I mean, we're very hopeful. This place is so incredible, so magical. I've had the privilege of waking up at every sunrise here up in this walnut tree overlooking the farm. And when people hear that, there's a farm in South Central,
right.
that amazes them, but to actually come and experience it,
right.
and, you know, the songbirds have returned to South Central thanks to this farm, and that's a really amazing thing. You sit up there and look over this 14 acres, and there are birds, and there's 500 trees here in addition to all the crops that are being grown, all the medicinal plants. It's stunning. And it all came, you know, I liken it to when a flower starts to grow through a crack in a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
That's in essence what this place is.
Right,
but
it's like a tree grows in Brooklyn type of miracle.
Yeah, it's a miracle, and it came from the initiative of average folk, and they've made it work on so many levels. And to take that away, and to, you know, for some Walmart warehouse or whatever they want to build here, is just absolutely the wrong thing to do. So
mm-hmm.
that's why we're here and we're committed and we'll be here till the end.
Well, that's wonderful. I have a question for you.
Yes.
I think it's kind of, you said that there's about 100 to 200 people there during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that there's almost 400 families that work for this particular farm.
Mm-hmm.
It leads me to inquire, why aren't there more people down there? I mean, especially if there's almost 400 families that are heavily involved and have a severe vested interest in the spot. Why aren't there more people down there, you know?
Well, it depends on the day. For instance, on the weekend, we had 1,000, you know. So during the week, a lot of the farmers work a regular job during the day. That's why at the big time where we have hundreds and hundreds of people is at the vigil,
uh-huh.
which happens in the evening. But there's also, I think, a lot of fear. I mean, a lot of the farmers are Latino. A lot of them are afraid of the police.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what kind of situation it is. And now their comfort level, this was when the eviction order first came into effect. We noticed there was a big drop-off. But then in the last 4 or 5 days, they've started to return. But there was a fear. Now, what they do is they stay on the outside. And every night they line up along Alameda Boulevard, and you'll have hundreds of people out there. So if you count all the people on the outside and on the inside, there's much more than the figure I gave you earlier.
Right. Well, is there an issue of illegality? Like, are some of these people, you know, on tentative stay or with?
I don't know the answer to that question in terms of individual cases, but I'm sure that
it's a factor of some point.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a factor on some level. But I also think for those who are here, you know, the vast majority, I'm sure, are legal, but it's still, there's a fear factor about the police and about harassment.
Right. Well, that's definitely nothing new in South Central.
Right.
So can you tell me, what does this farm mean to you? Like, how did you get involved in this? I mean, are you from L.A.? I mean, I understand that you're an active... Go ahead.
Well, you know, there's a couple of reasons. One, I was aware of the farm back at its origin. I was a community organizer and did some stuff in South Central back in 92 and 93. And we had a coalition that the L.A. Regional Food Bank was a part of, which initiated what then was called a garden. And so I knew when this garden began back in 92. But I had no idea that it had grown into this incredible farm.
Mm-hmm.
And just a few weeks ago, it was actually on Mother's Day, I got a call from a woman who I know who is also friends with Julia Butterfly, who's calling on Julia's behalf, asking if I could come and help set up this tree sit and to sit in the tree. And I quickly educated myself about the farm in the next 24 hours. And when Julia calls, I trust her instincts. Mm-hmm. And so,
have you been on other protests with her as well?
We've done a few things.
For instance?
We've talked over the years, and it's, you know, there's a trust level there. And mm-hmm. I know that she wouldn't reach out if
it wasn't a worthy cause.
Plus, it was for both of us, it's the first time we'd get back up in a tree since, you know, to do an action since her big tree sit and the one that I was involved with here in L.A.
Right.
So the idea of that, if she was willing to get back up in a tree, I knew it was really significant for her.
And how is she doing? I hear that she's been fasting for the last 2 weeks or so. Is that correct?
I think it's day 16.
Day 16, Jesus.
She's remarkable, and she's doing quite well.
How is she sustaining herself? I have to ask, how is she sustaining herself?
She's doing some kind of water fast. I think she has some nutrients in the water. And that is keeping her going. And she's been remarkably clear in her speaking to the press and to the folks who come down here. But watching her closely, because I'm bottom lining safety in the tree. And, so I check in with her multiple times a day just to make sure that she still has her focus and all of that. And so far, she's got an incredibly strong will.
Oh, she must be pretty weak at this point.
She's,
I mean, just physically, I mean...
She's holding up, but there's definitely...
I mean, 2 weeks is...
Yeah, we don't want it to go too much longer.
Right. Well, I mean, how far do you think this is going to go? Like, is there a timeline? Are you guys going to sit there until... I mean, you guys just waiting for something to happen? Or is... I mean, what's the likelihood of raising, you know, one-third more of... the intended amount of money?
I think it's fairly good.
Have you got? You guess you said earlier that you've been having tons of media and lots of press, and hopefully
right.
That's going to help the situation further.
Yeah, and so we're having people, funders, who are coming down and checking the site on a daily basis. So, and people are putting in money, and people in the public through the website, they have been putting in money, and so it's. But really, at this point, it's about cutting the deal with the developer.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's not just about the money. It's about someone being willing to sell and who they're willing to sell it to. So.
Right. Well, it might put more pressure on them if there's an overwhelming turnout and they see that, like, an absurd amount of people are really, really pissed about this. I mean, that can't hurt the situation.
Absolutely. And so we're, you know, our big days... Our big times are the evenings and the weekends
mm-hmm.
to draw large numbers. But then also during the day, we're getting consistent on a daily basis. So
right.
It's in the news every single day. So
what would you tell our listeners up here in Santa Cruz? How can they get involved? What should they do?
Well, I'll tell you what. If they want to get in their car and drive down here and experience something historic, I would encourage them to do so. Come to South Central Farm at 41st and Alameda, and you can... I believe there's directions on the website, which is southcentralfarmers.com or southcentralfarmers.org.
Okay.
And,
now, what would you say if the people go, oh, well, you know, I'm hurt up for cash. Like, I don't know if I have enough money. Like, what would you say to those people? Because, you know, that's the first thing people pop in their head. Well, I would go, but...
Hmm. Well, I would say, you know, if you can get yourself down here, you know, we get fed beautifully every day by the farmers.
Wow.
And so, you know, once
so you pretty much just need gas.
Yeah, you just need gas to get down there, which I know is expensive right now, but
no doubt.
We need folks, and we need folks who want to come down and really represent the kind of, I mean, this is a very loving action. It's a very conscious action. Our strength comes from moral clarity and not from anger right now. It's crucial because we've gathered a lot of public support by doing that. And we had a big meeting tonight to just reinforce that because because it's very easy to get angry about this situation, but
mm-hmm.
that would only play into the hands of those who just want us to fail. So if someone is considering coming down, just to do kind of gut check with themselves whether they're willing to come down and really be in that space. And if they are, we definitely would love their help. And all I can say, it's been an amazing experience for me, and I think most of the people here are having a very similar experience.
Well, I just want to thank you for being down there. I myself lament for not being there, in person, but I respect and I'm grateful. There are many people like yourself, getting down there and doing the right thing. And John, I want to thank you so much for calling into the show. I really had a pleasure talking with you, Mr. John Quigley.
Thank you.
And I understand that there is another caller going to come.
Yeah, I think so. Let me pass you off.
Oh, if he's already there, that'd be great.
Oh, actually, I'm not sure if he's already there.
Okay, that's cool. Just have him call in, and we'll play some tunes until. But once again, I just love to thank you.
Yeah, and thank you. Thanks for all the great questions. It's a little. I've been talking all day, so my brain's a little soggy. But your questions were all really good.
Oh, wonderful.
And I
well,
just hope that the folks up there, if they want to familiarize themselves with the issue, just go to that website and
say that one more time.
SouthCentralFarmers.com or SouthCentralFarmers.org.
All right. Well, thanks again, John.
Okay. Thank you, Emily.
No problem. Be well.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Well, you heard it live and direct, Mr. John Quigley. And once again, we're going to be having another person, actual farmer from the farm, and he's going to be calling in. I'm not really sure. We're going to play some music until then. I would just like to remind everyone that you are locked into 101.1 FM Free Radio Santa Cruz. And this is your fabulous host, Miss M. Joining me for dinner tonight was Mr. John Quigley.